of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. All that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquers the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquers the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquers the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, all that you've done for me. You hear me when I call, you are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. Always. my strength is in your name. For you alone can save, you will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. Is always by my side, the one who reigns forever. He is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever. A friend of mine, the God of angel armies, is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing with you. Like now. strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. blot out my transgressions. Would you create in me a clean heart, oh God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Would you create in me a clean heart, oh God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. The sacrifices of our God are a broken and a contrite heart. Against you and you alone have I sinned. The sacrifices of our God are a broken and a contrite heart. Against you and you alone have I sinned. Would you create in me a clean heart, oh God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Would you create in me a clean heart, oh God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation.
Good to be with you. Give it up for that youth band one more time. Man, it's been such a blessing just to work with them and to play music with them. And it's fun to work with teenagers and to create music like that. And a lot of times, and it's not just them, it's me, we tend to just forget things. And so like this morning, I think it was this morning. No, it was yesterday we had practice. And we had run through these songs countless times. And we're like, okay, let's get started. And one of them was like, wait, how does this song go again? And they completely forgot. And so I had a minor panic attack. But then they're like, okay, yeah, I got it. But it's just kind of funny how our brains work like that, how our minds kind of let us down over and over again. When I was in high school, my senior year in high school, I went to LaPorte High School. Woohoo, Bulldogs. Anybody? No? Okay. If you've gone to LaPorte High School, you know one of the biggest things that they do in the year is their high school musical. LaPorte puts on a high school musical that is, I could talk for hours about it. I won't. That's not my sermon. But it's an amazing experience, and it's like football players and nerds and band geeks, all these people come together to put on this musical. So it's really funny to see, like, you know, 250-pound linebackers dancing in a chorus line to a musical. Well, my senior year, I was one of the leads. We were doing Sweet Charity was a musical, and I was one of the leads, and I remember I've been acting like my whole life, and I remember being really cocky about it. And so I was a speaking part, but my big scene wasn't until like the second half of the play. And I remember as everyone's going through, and that first night of the production, the house is sold out, and everybody's nervous and everything, and I'm calm, I'm chill. I was like, oh, it's going to be good. No more worries. Nope, it's no problem. It's going to be fine. And everybody's nervous. And I remember the first half, I really didn't have much. And so I kind of did my lines and that was it. Well, the second half, my big scene, this is my big scene. I am going up there and I'm giving a wedding speech. Now, how the scene is set is I'm standing on a table on the stage. I'm standing on the table. The girl that's getting married in the play is standing on another table, and in front of us is about 60 other high school students that are in the play as characters, and they're watching us as I'm giving this speech, and then behind them is the whole audience, about 300 people watching the musical. So I'm on this table, I'm talking to this girl, and I have it feels like every eye on the planet is looking right at me, and I'm giving my lines, and I look at her, and I blank. And I freeze, and I'm in this middle of this wedding speech, and throughout the speech, the students on the stage that are part of the crowd, they're cheering and everything, and I freeze, and I make eye contact with the girl, and her eyes get really wide, and I have no idea what my line is. And so I say the only thing that comes to mind, which is, good job. And she has no idea how to respond, and then out of nowhere, my friend Jake, who is on the stage as one of the people watching my speech, just goes, yeah, and starts clapping. And everyone on stage starts clapping and cheering like it was all part of the play the whole time. And that was just enough to get me to calm down, regroup, and then remember my line and go back into it. And then I had this whole song I sang. I'm not going to sing it. If you want me to sing it, too bad. Too bad. But it was such a dire moment that my mind failed me. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we wish that our minds could be better, that we can have a renewal of our minds. Maybe we want a better memory. Maybe it's we want to be smarter, more intelligent. Maybe we crave wisdom. Maybe it's we wish we were wittier. We were quicker with our words. Whatever it is, we wish that our brains worked better. Maybe we understood our jobs a little bit better. Maybe we understood how to relate with people a little bit better. Whatever it is, we are looking for a renewal of our mind. A mental makeover, if you will. And so, knowing this and being honest with ourselves about this, where do we start? Where do we go to achieve this? And I believe it starts with faith. So if you will, open your Bibles up with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. If you would stand with me while we read. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray as we go through this sermon today, Lord, that it is your words that speak and not mine, that your voice is heard. And through this message, Lord, that we as a church family grow closer to you and our faith is strengthened. And our minds are renewed in who you are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here in Romans chapter 12 that a renewal of our minds is solely responsible to God. God is in control of renewing us. We in America are under this assumption that we have to be in charge of our betterment, that we have to fulfill this American dream, work hard, and make something out of ourselves. We have to be doing something, creating something, being something. Now, the truth of the matter is this mentality that has, I would say, plagued our society is leading us in the wrong direction. We as a people, and this might be a little sobering, we as a people don't ultimately have control of our betterment. God does. He has control of everything on this planet. And as we live our lives, when we try to rest on who we are and our strengths, we're going to be let down over and over again. And so if we're looking for a renewal of our mind, if we're looking for a betterment, a self-help outcome, we need to rely on God. So our first step is faith. Now, this word faith goes hand in hand with church. We hear this word all the time. It's written on doors, it's on coffee mugs, it's on aprons, it's everywhere. This word faith, having faith, is something that we throw out there in conversation very naturally. And I don't think that we really take into consideration what this word really means to us. See, having faith, having real faith, is life-changing. For a long time, I thought faith and having an idea were the same thing. It's not. Faith is something that causes you to be different, to go against what you would naturally want to do. It's not a box that you check when you're filling out your taxes. It's not something you claim. It's not an idea that you have or a philosophy that you live by. Faith changes you in a real drastic way. God, having faith in God, and especially the Christian God, we're believing that this gospel truth, that Christ came down as the Son of God, lived a life as a human being without sin, sacrificed himself for our salvation, this gospel truth, if we really put our faith in it, not just our idea, not just our philosophy, but our faith in it, how is it going to change us? In this verse, we see this phrase called a living sacrifice. And this kind of phrase might sound a little archaic, or it might sound a little scary or extreme, being a living sacrifice. You see, in the Old Testament, for human beings to be connected back with God when we have sinned, when we messed up, they had to make a payment. They had to make amends to God. And the way God called his people to do that was through a sacrifice, through the sacrificial offering of a cow, of a lamb, but a blood sacrifice. Blood had to be shed for the payment of sin. And so now, as Christians, when we live in the post-resurrection life, the blood has been shed. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. That payment has been paid. Our checks have been cleared. We put our faith in him because his payment is enough to cover us. But when we put our faith in him, we are saying that we are dying to who we are, dying to ourselves, what we desire, and allowing Christ to live inside of us. This is what it means to be a living sacrifice. We are sacrificing what we want, who we are, so that Christ may be made much through us. We are to be living sacrifices. As Christ lives in us, this is where he transforms us. As we put ourselves aside and let Christ move and guide us, this is where we see our minds renewed. Now, I think there's three big ways that God does this, how our minds were renewed. When we are filled with the Spirit, when we are following after Christ and working to glorify him, I think there's three big ways. First, one way that our mind is renewed is our instincts. I think our instincts are changed. How often does our mind mislead us even when we're not thinking about it? We don't have time to think. We just react, and we still make the wrong choices. I mean, reactions have devastated families. Men, how often is lust a reaction? When a pretty girl walks by, it catches our eye. One of my favorite things to do is when a pretty girl walks by is not to look at her, but to look at the guy's eyes, to look at them, because guys will figure out some sort of way to take a peek, whether it's secretly, and some guys just don't even care. They just lean back and watch. But when they see that you're looking at them, it's a whole different story. But they don't even, a lot of times we don't even think about it. It's a reaction. How often is jealousy a reaction? We hear something happens to somebody, something good, or someone gets something, and all of a sudden, the only thing we can think about is negative things. Oh, so-and-so got a new boat. Why'd they get a new boat? They don't deserve a new boat. Why don't I have a new boat? Or such-and-such got a new job. Well, that person is not a nice person. Why are they getting a new job? Why am I not getting a new job? See, jealousy, anger is such a reaction. Delivering pizzas and driving through traffic, I was telling somebody, I almost get in about 5 wrecks a day delivering pizzas. And when you're in traffic and you have to deal with people that are cutting you off, that are making unwise moves, because I never cut anybody off ever in my life. our reaction, our instinct, our impulse is to react in anger. I mean, some people have such a control over their tongue, except when they're in traffic. Some of y'all just got a little shorter in your seats just now. But our impulses fail us over and over again. When I was in second grade, this is one of my favorite stories. I don't think I've told you yet. When I was in second grade, my mom taught at my school. And so anytime I got in trouble, I didn't go to the principal's office. I went to my mom. And so one day, I got out of class to go to the water fountain. And as I was there, a couple third graders were messing around outside in the hallway. And one of them pants the other one. Now, if you're not familiar with that term, that means he literally grabbed the other boy's pants and pulled them down to where he was only in his underwear. And when I saw that, my immediate thought was, that's hilarious. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. He was wearing pants and now he's not. How do you get better than that? And so I remember going back to my class, like, keep thinking about that. And that left me. Later that day, we all made a trip to the water fountain. As we were in line for the water fountain, my friend, which was the worst part, we were like best friends, was getting a drink of water. And he bent over. And I was like, this is my moment. And I just pantsed him. And he was there drinking water in his underwear. And I remember he just, like, stopped, looked down. And he's like, just pulled up his pants like it wasn't a big deal. I was like, it happens to him all the time. But I didn't even think about it. It just happened. And when it happened, I didn't realize that there was a teacher 3 feet away from me. And I looked at her and she looked at me and she said, who did that? She gave me the out, so I took it. I don't know. She's like, you have to go tell your mom later today. You find me at recess, and then you have to go tell your mom. It's like, oh, and I had to go tell her, and I was crying, and it didn't turn out really well. My mom loves that story because when I went to tell her, I was crying, and I was, Mom, I did something very bad. And so she loves bringing it up, especially at get-togethers. It's really embarrassing. But in that moment, even as a child, I wasn't even thinking about what I was doing. I was just reacted. So often, and this isn't just delegated to children. I mean, we all do things like this. Maybe not pantsing people. You probably get fired, just to let you know. But we react to situations without thinking about it. You see, when we allow Christ to live in our lives, when we put him first and allow him to lead us, our impulses start to change. When we long to know him, when we fill our lives with his word and dedicate ourselves to prayer, all of a sudden, it isn't our thought-out reactions. When you give somebody enough time, usually they can make the right decision. But in our impulses, that's where it's difficult. That's where you can see real change happening. Being loving, being sacrificial, being selfless. Parents, when you go home and you've had a hard day and your kids are there and it's frustrating, where you find that extra patience and love, that comes from Christ. When you're at work and your coworkers don't have similar values as you and they are frustrating and they take advantage of you, what gives you that extra bit to be loving and Christ-like to them is allowing Christ to work in us and not ourselves. This is where our instincts take over. Maybe it will even take over when you're in traffic and someone cuts you off and you don't say something about it. He will renew our mind, and our faith in him will change us in a real way. A second big way I think that God renews our mind is our logic. If you didn't know, I know everything. And if you don't believe me, ask the person I think is the smartest, which is me, and I'll let you know that I know everything. But we think this. Maybe it's a subconscious thing, but we think that we got it figured out. Maybe we've lived enough years where we think, I've seen enough scenarios where I pretty much got this living life thing figured out. When I was a young college student, this is what I thought. I thought that I was smart enough that I could figure things out. And I usually applied this to the Bible. And my mistake was I didn't let Scripture change my thoughts. I let my thoughts change Scripture. So I would be in these late night conversations, drinking coffee, spouting out nonsense about things that don't even take place in Scripture. And we would argue about needless things, whether Adam and Eve had a belly button or who Cain's wife was or all these little things that really don't matter in the long run, trying to incorporate evolutionary theory and Big Bang into all these things, where at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. My faith is in God. And this is the hard thing. And this is where we test our faith, whether it's something that changes us or is it an idea. You see, when you talk to people, and I think I've said this before, when you talk to people about God, they can believe in a God. They don't have a problem with that. They can believe in an all-powerful God that has created the universe with thought. But the idea of a man walking on water or turning water into wine or healing somebody of blindness, that's where their faith comes short. So you'll hear the same person say, God created humanity with a thought, start giving scientific explanations on how the Red Sea parted in such a certain way. I mean, why can't God have power over both? Now, maybe God did use a scientific explanation to do it, but does that make it any less miraculous? The fact that we now know in our society that we are created of cells and atoms, does that make it any less miraculous that God knitted us together with the fabric of the universe? When our faith stops being ideas and starts changing our lives, we start looking at him to change how we think, how we rationalize things. Our logic is changed because sometimes logic and faith don't go hand in hand. When I was in college, I was taking a philosophy class. And in this philosophy class, my professor was this atheist, communist, Cuban guy. Real interesting. I remember being in his class, and this guy was very smug, and he acted like he knew everything. And so as he taught us, he would speak with authority, and he would make points that made so much sense that even I, somehow a 19-year-old college student, couldn't come up with an argument against him. And I remember in that class, my faith, for one of the first times in my life, being shaken to the core. And after that class one day, I went and I sat on a bench outside the school, and I called my youth pastor. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if I can be a Christian. I don't know if I really believe this. And I was like, what did you do? What can you do to come through this? How can you argue these points? And he said something that at the moment made me mad. He said, I can't. I just have to have faith that God knows what he's doing. And at the moment, that made me mad. I was like, that's a cop-out answer. But as I thought about it, it made sense. If God is all-powerful, if God encompasses eternity, why does he have to explain things to me? Who am I to know how God does things? And in that moment, I committed to saying, I am going to question things. I am always going to ask questions. But I will never doubt that one, God is good and that he loves me. And that foundation, that gospel foundation, as I as a scientific way, as I use that as my constant in my experiments, God has never let me down. And when my logic is leading me to disagree with that foundation that God is real and that he loves me, and that he is good, I dismiss that argument. And so when God renews our mind, when Christ is living through us and leading us, our logic is renewed. And we always have excuses. We always have excuses. And this brings me to my third point. He renews our limitations. Our brains, whether we're too young or too old or too dumb or too slow or whatever it is, we always have excuses to stop God or to try to stop God from doing something big in our lives. We say we are incapable of doing amazing things, but we are. Because the good news is that it isn't about you. I mean, it isn't about how smart you are or how young or how old or whatever. It is about God working in you. And wherever you are, whoever you are, when we set limitations on ourselves, we are lacking faith in who God is and who Christ is. Faith changes. When we put faith in him, he works in us. He lives and guides us. And so maybe it stops us, this limitation we think we have, stops us from telling somebody about Jesus because we don't think we're good enough with our words. Maybe it stops us from singing worship. Maybe it stops us from doing something amazing for God. But it is not us who do it. It is Christ who lives within us. I have a great aunt who a couple years ago she read Purpose Driven Life. And this lady, she is in her early 70s. And at the end of the book, it tells the readers to go on a mission trip. And this lady, being in her 70s, well, she was talking to me about it and said, well, I said to go on a mission trip. So I went on a mission trip. And this lady, in her 70s, raised the money and went to South Africa. Didn't just go on a mission trip downtown. She went and stayed 2 weeks in South Africa, and she planted gardens for people who didn't know how to plant gardens. She planted and taught. And this old lady who has physical troubles was able to do something amazing for God, to teach, touch lives, to teach tribes, to love people, to show them Jesus, no matter what her limitations were. It doesn't matter what you think you can and cannot do. You worship the holy, all-powerful God, and he can work in you. The question is, do we have faith in him? This is what will renew our minds. And the thing is, as we see in this scripture here, we will see that our minds are being renewed because why? By the testing, you may discern what the will of God is. So get ready, because if this is your prayer, if this is your desire, you will be tested in this. It's like they always say, don't pray for patience because you're going to be tested. This is what it's saying here. If you are wanting a renewal of your mind, God will test you. But through that, through those trials, through the fire, we will be able to discern the will of God and know who he is for us. Through the test, we will see Christ overcome. We just have to be willing to take that step of faith, to follow after him in a real, life-changing way for our minds, for our souls to be renewed. Let me pray, and we'll be done. Father God, I just thank you so much for your word and the challenges that it brings. Lord, I just pray for renewal and a continuous renewal of our minds as your church, Lord, that we will never stop growing, that we will continue after you. Lord, I just pray that we can seek after you above all else, whether it's our impulses, our logic, or our limitations, whatever it is, that you can transform us, that we will not let the world dictate how we live our lives, but we will trust in you to lead us. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. With sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. This is amazing grace. All that you've done for me.